people who, not even when they were, whatever, people would just, what kind of name is that? And on the spot, they would give people names. And that name stuck, and there are families today that have hundreds of members of the family, all based on a name that was given to them by a clerk in Ellis Island. So let us say the clerk was a religious Catholic or some, I don't know, whatever, it's not a good example, but let's say he was some type of idol worshiper, and he had a whole list of idols, and he selected for different people names of idols. Imnachrim yikru l'shum yehudi b'shem Eloheihem al yoniach aleihem likvay shmeikach. You are not allowed to accept that. You have to stand up for your rights. Sharei Ksivit says in the Pasuk, Chochomato midoniel, Hashem gave Musar to Yecheskel. Yecheskel lived in the same time as Doniel. And Hashem said to Yecheskel, Yecheskel, are you wise with midoniel? Now, in this Pasuk, the Yud of Doniel is missing. Okay, Doniel, by the way, Doniel, I believe, if not mistaken, that it's on the pronunciation on the Dalet? Doniel. Is on the Nun, I forgot. Where is the emphasis? Doniel, the Yud, right? The Yud, not on the Aleph, right? Correct, right? The Yud, not on the Aleph. It's not Doniel. It's Doniel. Right, it's not Doniel. That's a mistake. It's Doniel. It's on the Yud. The Aleph is just there as padding. It's not the Iker letter on the Yud. People make that mistake. The pronunciation, the emphasis goes on the Yud, not on the Aleph. Doniel. Not on the Aleph, but on the, if I'm not mistaken, there is one exception. There is one exception, Nach, where the pronunciation is on the Aleph. There's no nikud. Every time it says in the Torah the word Doniel, there is no nikud on the Aleph.
Right.
It's always on the Yud. But there is one exception. There is one exception, and that's why you do find people today, there's a dogish in the Yud. But now in this particular pasuk, for whatever reason, the Yud is missing. In this particular pasuk, when Hashem gives Musa Yecheskel, the Yud is missing. Why here did Doniel suffer the insult that his name, a letter of his name, a significant letter of his name is absent? And the answer is because Doniel made a mistake. Doniel Kosav, the Yud is missing. Chosar Yud, Lefisha Micha, Doniel, Nebuchadnezzar, Melasois, Eloka, Veloy Micha, Boy, Melikroisoi, Bal Tishatzar, Kishem Elokov. Because Doniel did not protest when Nebuchadnezzar called, renamed Doniel by the name of Bal Tishatzar. Bill, okay, over here he has over a test. I don't know whatever this means, but it appears that this was an idol. This was an idol that was worshipped in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and when Nebuchadnezzar became aware of the talent and the great skill of Doniel, especially in that he was able to interpret his dream, no one else was able to provide an interpretation for his dream like Doniel. He renamed him. He thought he was a god, a divine figure, and he called him by this name Belteshazzar, as that's what it says over here in our edition with the test, Keshem Elohav. And over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset. How did you allow this non-Jew, Nebuchadnezzar, to call you by the name of an Avodah Zarah, and you did not make a macha? And don't answer me that, it's not my place to disagree with the Melech. The fact that you did give him Musar when he made himself into a god, we find that when Shemicha Daniel Nebuchadnezzar Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make Daniel into an Avodah Zarah itself, that he did not allow. Daniel objected to that. Once you have shown that you are willing to fight, to go up against the Nebuchadnezzar, to make a macha, why did you only stop Why did you stop by just protesting not that he should not make you into a god? You also should have made a machal that he should not even call you by the name of an avodah zarah. And because you did not do so, Hashem had a complaint against Daniel, and that complaint was expressed where the yud was omitted from his name. And from here we learn a yisoid, that if a person should not allow himself in the secular world to be called by a name that is an avodah zarah, and this was, but probably years ago it was much more common when non-Jews would demand that Jews have secular names, and some governments who have a long history, the non-Jewish names were given to Jews by the government, and the government would assign names, and some of those names were names of gods, of idols. And he's telling us over here that it is unacceptable to allow a non-Jew to call a Jew by the name of a god. Let's over here see over here more elaboration on the side of the parish, on the side over here. Look over here on the side, Kuf Tzadi Dalid, on the right side. Im al yiniach Elohim aleihem likro shmo koch hatam kidrosam lebesimim hakoidim lezer ma'ashamar. And this is what it says. Shrei kesev hachacham ata midaniel. Midaniel kesev chosar yud lufi v'loi michabo chulu. So he explains over here the whole story. B'yecheskel, in Perek Chofchas kesev it says, hinei chacham ata midaniel. Are you wiser than Daniel? V'isa b'radak, tam loma zochar Daniel. Why in this sugya, in this story, did Hashem give Musar to Yecheskel? Hashem was complaining against Yecheskel that you're not giving Musar. You're not giving Musar to the Jewish people. Are you wiser than Daniel? Daniel gave Musar. If Daniel gave Musar, you also should give Musar. Now the Radak comes to explain, Lama Zohar Daniel, Ula Hachosid Zeh, Bal HaMechaber, Koshalei, to the Chosid, meaning Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, who is the author of this sefer, he had a difficulty. Now the Radak there explains, why did Hashem single out from all of the Ishei HaTanach Daniel to serve as an example to Yecheskel in regard to the story that is mentioned there of giving Musar to Klal Yisrael? There are many different Ishei HaTanach that Hashem could have selected to use as a tool, as a lesson for Yecheskel. But here, Rabbi Yehuda HaChos is coming to ask a second question. After Hashem selected Daniel, why did Hashem omit the Yud in his name? V'chosav teretz, echad, l'shtehen. And in the process, he gives one answer that answers both questions. Why, in general, did Hashem select Daniel? The Hochi Komar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yecheskel. Sheyoymar linagid tzur, shehoya oise atzmai Eloah, to go tell to the prince, to the melech, who made himself into a god. It was an individual there who made himself into a god. Hinei chochamato midaniel, shemichol nivranetzem elasoise Eloah. Are you wiser than Daniel? Daniel, he made a machal when the Nebuchadnezzar made him into a god. Uveshvil shloimichon milikroise bel tishatzar b'shem Elohav nenash. Likro Daniel Chosar Yud. He gave him Musar, but he did not give him enough Musar. He should have given him Musar as well, not even call him by the name of a god. The Ata and now Loi Chochamata Vimenu. You're worse. You are allowing yourself, they're calling you the Nagi there, whatever the story, I don't know what the story, I don't remember. The story there was they want to make Yecheskel into a god. You're allowing them to call you a god, so you're even worse. The Yeturis Lefizeh, Nam Yilom Bichesel Gidal Ksid Beis Pabim Daniel Choser, Kid Isa Beradak, Uve Mesoris Gidelis, I'm not sure what that means, there's Sham, the Isa Beyoma Perik, Omar Lohem, Hamamune, Shabishvil Tzadik Echad Yishma Hashem Kol Oise Hadar, Avapi Shigesh Bedar Rishoim Ayin Sham Berif, that sometimes Hashem protects an entire generation in the schools of one person. Now this is a very popular sugya where it mentions there three people. It mentions Daniel, Yoiv, and Noach. And what is the significance of these three people? These three people were the very great tzaddikim, but they were unable to save the entire generation. Eoiv was very great, was not able to save their generation. Let's say with Noach, we understand, was the time of the Mabul. Eoiv refers to the time of different interpretations. Let's say the time of the Canaan, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael wiped out all of the Canaan, and he was not able, his merit was not able to save them. And Daniel was during the time of the Chorban. They were able to save themselves, but they were not able to save other people. And the Gemara there differentiates the tzaddik gomor and the tzaddik sheinu gomor. The teretz yesh lam al noyach ve'iyov shechatu be'ezeh davar. Noyach and Eoiv sinned. What was the sin of Noyach? He did not give mussar to the people of the generation. Eoiv sinned that he did not give mussar to his children. V'loy hoy chichoy. Aval al Daniel loy motzinu klal olav shum chet. The im kein lama lo yatzel doiroi. Why wasn't Daniel able to save the generation of the Chorban? The al kein nichta bahani pesukim. Daniel chosar yud loymar shelebnei shloim micha b'nevuchadnezzar. The truth is, he did do an avera, and the avera was he did not make a macha protest against Nevuchadnezzar. Melekroisa b'shem Elohav nechsar yud mishmoi v'im kein. Af Daniel also b'davar zesh loykagin also did an avera, and mishum zel lahitzel el as al nafshe v'loy b'nei doyrei. So to summarize what we just read inside over here is that Daniel, there the pasuk mentions three people: Daniel, Eoiv, and Noach. What is the significance of these three people? There are many perushim. Amongst the many perushim, the Gemara illustrates is that they were very great. And they were able to survive a very difficult situation, but they were not great enough that in their merit, the entire generation should be spared. Eoiv represented, I'm not sure what it means exactly, but maybe it means his children, his whole family. He was very great, but his merit was not great enough in order to save his children, or refers to the time of when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Canaanim were wiped out, and his merit was not enough to save the Canaanim when Klal Yisrael at that time. I'm not sure exactly. That's a separate discussion. I don't know. That's a separate discussion if he was a Jew or not. I don't know. And Noach certainly refers to the Mabul. And the question over here is, why was he not able? Why were these three people not able to save the generation? And the Rabbi Huda Chassid is saying that too. It's obvious they did not give Musar. Noach did not give Musar to his generation. Eve, the Pasuk says, he did not give Musar to his children. So they were guilty of not giving Musar. But where do we find that Daniel was guilty of not giving Musar? In fact, we do find that Daniel gave Musar. He gave Musar to Nebuchadnezzar when Nebuchadnezzar wanted to bow down to him. After Daniel interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which no one else was able to do, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to make Daniel into a god. And Daniel protested and told him, I'm not a god, you should not do that. However, he should have done more. Nebuchadnezzar did not worship him, but did call him by the name of an Avodah Zarah. And Rabbi Huda Chassid is saying that there's a complaint against Daniel that once already gave him Musar not to make me into a god, he also should have given him Musar not to even call me by the name of a god. And because he did not do so, he's also part of the team guilty for not giving enough Musar. And that's why the Gemara equates all three together. They were all very great people. And wherever their situation was, they were great to save themselves, but they were not great enough to save their generation, period. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Next halacha is Kuf Tzadi Hei. Lama Hoyi Mitzar David Alav Shalom. Why do we find that David Alav Tzar? David had enormous pain over the death of Avshalom. The reason why he had tsar, he did not die in a state of inchoizer bishuva. That's the worst thing. A person, even Rachmana Litzlan, even if they live the life of doing averos, if at the very end they're choizer bishuva, that makes a very, very big difference. We do not know how this works. Someone on Shabbos told me a story. I don't know. He told me that the Chafetz Chaim. I never heard such a story. He had a great granddaughter that was not religious. Okay, she was a brilliant woman, She had multiple PhDs. She was a very, very great woman. And she went she told her Shabbos I ate a suda with a woman and she met her many, many years. It was not a young woman. It was an elderly woman. She met her many, many years ago, and she said when she saw that in America, Yiddishkeit, how it resurfaced, how you know it became revitalized. She said she made a big mistake. She has charata. Had she known, she really thought that it was all over for Klal Yisrael. And had she known, she sees what she sees today in America, this is many, many years ago, how Yiddishkeit is alive and well, she never would have given it all up. And she expressed pain and expressed charata over not living a life of Torah u'mitzvos. She really believed it wasn't possible anymore after everything that happened. And now she sees it really is possible. And she died, she left this world expressing that remorse, that tsar. That's an amazing thing. Okay? You can't blame anyone for what they did, especially in the very difficult times. But you know, it's like she had the koyach of the Chofetz Chaim, that she was choizer at the end of her life. She expressed a very real, sincere charata for not being observant her entire life. That's a very, very great thing. A person who's a chaplain in the hospital has an incredible achrayus. People who are in the hospital, and especially in these facilities, hospices, people who are chaplains and hospices, and they deal with people who are dying, and they reflect, and they talk about their life.
Yeah.
And it's extremely, an incredible achrayus. It's a very, very great achrayus upon a chaplain that a person, before they leave this world, should leave this world being choizer b'shuva. And we do not know how it works. We have no clue to how this thing works. What's the difference? To us, it doesn't really make any sense. A person's entire life was not religious. So what's the difference? So the last 5 minutes before a person leaves this world, so they're choizer b'shuva? So they're not choizer b'shuva. What, 5 minutes is going to make a very big difference? That's why I look at it, right? What difference does it make? But you see, over and over, in many, many sources, is we don't know how things work in the next world, and the advantage of leaving this world in a frame of mind of teshuvah, of vidui, and teshuvah is extremely, extremely valuable. It is priceless. And a person, in fact, needs a zuchus that he should be in a frame of mind when he leaves this world, where he's able to leave this world in a state of inchayzeh b'shuvah. It's a tremendous chus. Rachman will say, due to modern medicine, many people today die not in a frame of mind where they're able to have that opportunity to say Shema Yisrael. And if a person leaves this world where he's conscious, he's in his right mind, and he's able to properly express, to do teshuvah, and to recite vidui, this is an incredible thing. And a person who has that ability to guide a person in that matzah, when he's leaving this world, you're really giving him something that is priceless. And you see that here as a very polite reminder, Avshalom, David, why did David have so much tsar? We find he wrote, composed multiple mizmorim in Tehillim, explaining, expressing his sorrow over Avshalom. And the Sefer Chasidim is telling us an incredible insight. It's not what he did. David's not upset that Avshalom tried to kill him. He's not upset about all of the averos that he did, that he lived with all of David's wives. Could you imagine that Avshalom, he went and he lived with all of David's pilakshim in order that David should never be able to be with them again? He did the most incredible averos, and that's not why David was upset. David was upset for one reason only. He left this world without being choizer b'shuva. And that's a very frightening, powerful wake-up call. Tachnun, yeah, it's right. Tachnun is a certain degree of recognizing a person gives himself over to die. It's right. You're saying something very, very important. What is Tachnun? Tachnun, the person falls on his face. You're giving up your life to Hashem. You're giving up your life to Hashem in a state of teshuva. Person, basically, when you're saying Tachnun, practicing, Rav Kalman is saying that person, by saying Tachnun, he is practicing the vidui of Shchiv Meirah. person doesn't even know when the expiration is exactly. But let's not be so. Let's not go such a gloom and doom. We have enough here, gloom and doom, in this year. But even if you don't want to go that down a path, the thing about it, when a person says Tachnun every single day, he's basically practicing Vidui Shechiv Meira. Before a person, 120 years old, about to leave this world, he's supposed to say Vidui Shechiv Meira. I'm now about to leave this world. I'm about to die. I want to recognize I've done Averos. And I'm sorry, I've charata. Tsar li ma'od nitluna biyad Hashem ki rabe merachav biyad adam alapola. It's an expression of really captures the essence of what the vidui of shchiv meira is all about. And saying tachman affords a person to practice. So it's not such a good idea to search for a minion where you'll save yourself 10 seconds by not reciting Tachman at the time of Tefillah when you really should. Let's go further. Davar Acher, another interpretation. Mishvil Shechot David Al Maisa Basheva V'Uriah Omar David Avoni Garam. Because David committed two sins, really one sin, one and the same, that he took Basheva prematurely while she was still married to Uriah Hachiti, and he sent him to the front lines that he should die prematurely, which would trigger the get retroactively. This was not proper on the level of David HaMelech. David said, "Avoni garam sheyotza avsholem me'olam hazeh sheyotza avsholem me'olam hazeh me'olam haba v'yarei pen yivieu l'din al kach al avonei shagam lazeh." David is blaming himself. David is saying that it is my fault that Avshalom lost his portion in this world and in the next world. Avshalom was meant to be a successful person in this world. Avshalom left this world before his time. His sins were so great that on the surface, Avshalom lost his portion in Olam Haba because he died without doing teshuvah. David is blaming himself. It is my sins that have caused my child to lose his portion in this world and in the next world. And because it was my sins that caused this to happen, I will also be subject to judgment for such a thing. And that is why David was sad over the death of Avshalom. He was sad about himself. It's more of a selfish reason. That's what he's saying in his second interpretation. Okay, so this over here is like basically a very independent halacha. It's an independent halacha. He's coming to give us a bayer in Ma'aseh and Tanakh. David is mourning over the loss of Avshalom. He composed Mizmorim in Tehillim to express this tsar, and he's telling us two very different reasons why he was upset. Number one, he's upset for the neshama of Avshalom that left the world without doing teshuva. Number two, he's really mourning over himself because he is the cause. He is mourning over himself because he's blaming the loss of Avshalom for his personal sins. Because I've sinned, Avshalom came from me, who lost his portion this world and the next world, and I will have to stand in judgment for what I have done to my son Avshalom because of my chatoim. Next halacha. It seems he did not. It seems that's a given. That's a given, it seems. It seems it was a given. He was there with the whole story with the hair. His hair got tangled. His hair got tangled in the branch and he died. There's no indication that he did teshuvah. And that seems to be clear. He did not do teshuvah. That's a given. I don't know more than that. Ksiv. Kuf tzadivav. B'daniel lohein malka nu halacha malki lohein malka malki yishpar alach v'chatoyoch b'tztaka p'roik. There the story is that Daniel, that Hashem revealed to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream that he is going to be finished. He's going to die. He's going to suffer because he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar had a very troubling dream. And Daniel interpreted the dream which spelled out the demise of the Malchus, of the person, of the family, the legacy of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel was, and Nebuchadnezzar was receptive to hearing the Musar of Hashem through Daniel. That he had the dream. Daniel very gently explained to Nebuchadnezzar, "You, Nebuchadnezzar, are a Rasha. And Hashem is letting you know that by presenting you this very elaborate dream, and the dream predicts your demise, your death, your fall, the end of your malchus, your family, your legacy, v'chulu v'chulu. Nebuchadnezzar, it's shocking that he accepted the words of Daniel. He accepted his fate, but he asked him, what should I do? Is there anything that I can do that can reverse this prediction, this vision? And Daniel said, I don't know if we can reverse it entirely, but you can definitely delay its implementation by giving tzedakah. Give tzedakah. Support the poor people. Become a Democrat. Become a Democrat and lobby for programs. Programs for the poor. Redistribute the wealth. Become a communist. Become a socialist. Become a Bernie Sanders. And this will delay your demise. Okay, I'm Michal, don't get upset. I'm just joking around. Okay? This, implement some social programs for the poor, and this will delay your demise. And the words that he used were Lohain, therefore, Malka, the king, Malki, my king. Very polite. Yishpar aloch, may the words I present be beautiful to you. What are the beautiful words that I'm trying to present that will allow you to survive? Vachatayoch, your sins, specifically the sin of destroying the house of Hashem, bitztokah, by giving charity, pirok. The next words are, you can redeem. Give charity, support the poor people, that will be of assistance to you. So he goes on to explain, kolal lecha, kol simuchim lechatoch. So here he's making a drasha. The Sefer Hasidim says the word kol is next to the word chatoyoch. Now where do we have the word kol? He's going to explain. Let's just read a few more lines and we'll come back and explain. Chatoyoch bitztaka piroik. Kloimar chatoyoch kofol. Your multiple sins, kiflayim b'chol chatoysecha. Now, what does that mean exactly? So let's take a look over here on the parish on the side. On the side it says, okay, let's just jump down to the small letters. Ratzo loymar, milos chatoyoch in osios hasmuchos zo lezobi aleph beis. These are letters that are right next to each other. Ches, tes, yud, chaf. Isn't that very interesting? These letters are all letters that are in order. Ches, tes, yud, chaf. Usmuchim lumilas chatoyoch osios kifulim. After we get to the letters chaf, we come to the double letters. We come to chaf, lamed, mem. These are the letters where we're no longer the digits, but now we're coming into the double letters. So what is the message, the hidden message of Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar, Kiloimar, Chatoyoch Kofol, your double sin, ki ilu nichtav chatoyoch b'shnei yudin, shu b'loshoin rabim. It's not a chato, when there are two letters, chato yayich, your multiple sins, umem kifulin hein, perish, kiminyan klal. When you have a mem, a double mem, that has the same gematria, kiminyan klal, two mems are 80, and lam lam 30 is 60 plus 20. Here he's going into gematrias. Mem is 40. A double mem is 80. The gematria of the word klal is 80. There are two lamids, 30 is 60, plus chaf is 20, is 80. The nun kifulim, nun is 50. When we double the nun is hein kuf, kiminyan lecha kol. The gematria of lecha kol, lamid chaf is 50. And kiminyan and lamid chaf is also 50, lecha kol. So what over here is the purpose of saying over here lecha kol, the noka milas klal, kolal lecha kol. So what is he trying to do over here? We're trying over here to make this fancy gematria of klal lecha kol. Mishum de bemilas klal shumiminyan mimem kifulin, which is the gematria of two mems, halamid shehusmucha lemilas chatoyach, nichpola gamkein, the lamid is also going to be doubled, hainu lamid lamid min klal, hukofal lamid kidibisa besamach. Okay, let's read a little bit more. We'll come back to the gematria in a moment. Umash amar kiflayim b'chol chato seho, rotzoloimar, lomoloi kosef kiflayim chato seho. Why doesn't it say openly? Ela haposeg rotzolohoris lunch b'chol chet sh'odom oise, hachet hu kefel. Every time a person does a sin, really it's double. Loma b'emes kein hu, mefarsh atam im, ho'av chato megalgel al zaroi gam lachatoi. Okay, so we're going to come back to the one, but let's get the basic principle out of the Sefer Chassidim. When a person does an Avera, it's not just him doing the Avera. He puts into motion a koyach that his child will do the Avera as well. Nimsa, shebchol chet she'adam oisech choto kefel. Umilas keflayim oile lemeo shmein. He's going to all these gematrias, which is very, very uncomfortable. Because I'm not good numbers. Umilas keflayim oile lemeo ushmeinim kemiyan klal lecha kol, which the gematch of kolal lecha kol. Umilas bechol meshamish b'mokoyim shnayim. Lirmoy she'oisos ha'kifulim shen klal lecha kol she'oilam leminyan keflayim ha'nechleles b'milas bakol. T'haynu chof lamin hin oisos klal lecha kol lehoire she'chotu he'echshech chotu kafel hu b'chol achet shadim oiseh mitam hanal. V'zerat ham shenakar amilois ha'kfulas v'loshen klal l'chokol, shebo l'hoiros shenichlolim b'milas kol k'nal, alkein v'milo ha'lamir kfula v'zer nami ha'tam l'shamim v'chol chadasecha, v'lema mechadasecha v'lema b'emes, b'emes, v'ma'av chotim, he's repeating himself over here, alzari ki rosha, moilid rosha, u'mevi raya l'zer, and he goes on to the psukim. So in other words, what are you saying over here? What he's saying over here is, Nebuchadnezzar, what you've done over here is you've put into motion a terrible thing where all of your descendants will also be sinners just like you. It appears what he's saying to the Nebuchadnezzar is, I've told you, Hashem has appeared to you. Hashem has given you a dream. I've interpreted the dream. The dream is, you're done, you're finished. Hashem is going to destroy you. He's going to destroy your family. He's going to destroy your malchus. It's going to be over for you very, very soon. You are shaken up. You actually believe the dream. You're looking for an approach. What should I do now that I've done this terrible avera, and how can I save myself? The first thing Daniel says is, first thing you need to do is to appreciate the depth of your avera. You are a fool in thinking that the level of your sin is at level 1. The level of your sin is at level 2. The first thing a person has to do when he does teshuvah is to recognize the depth, the degree, the severity of the avera. Daniel says, Nebuchadnezzar says, so what should I do? I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is angry. He's trying to shake me up by showing me this dream. So what should I do? So Daniel is telling him, give tzedakah. But by telling him to give tzedakah, he's also coming to hint to him and saying, you have to realize how great the sin is. The tzedakah that you're going to give to serve as atonement for your avera is not going to help unless you fully appreciate the depth of your sin. And he uses language and he selects words which are all, as we see over here, double letters, with gematrias of all these different ideas which all focus on one concept of it being double. The sin that you've done is not just your sin. You've put into this world a power, a force of sin that your children and your descendants and people who study your legacy will emulate, will copy. And therefore, you're in a lot of trouble. And it's not so simple for you just to do teshuvah. That's what he's trying, it appears what he's trying to bring out of his. So now let's try to read this halacha one more time. Kasim Daniel, Lohein therefore Malka, the king, Malki, my king, Yishpar Aloch may the words that I present, may they be pleasing before you. V'chatoyoch bitztoka. Kolal l'cha kol. Three words. Kolal l'cha kol. Now the words kolal l'cha kol simuchin l'chatoyoch. The words v'chatoyoch, chatoyoch are oisir smuchis, ches tes yud chof. Yud chof begins now the words are the double letters with all of these elaborate gematrics, which I'm not going to repeat. Chatoyoch v'tzdaka peroik, kiloymar, chatoyoch kofol, kiflayim v'chol chatoyseha. He should have said a pasuk in Yeshaya. In Yeshaya, it says the word, the correct grammar is to say it's double of all of you, but does not say the correct word, but says the word, v'chatoyoch. And after we go and finish all the gematrias, he's coming to teach him, it's not a single sin, it's a double sin. What does that mean exactly? He explains. If a father sins, misgalgel al zaroi gam lachatoi, that puts into motion a will, a desire for the child to sin as well. Shenemar, ki mishoresh nochosh yetze tsefa. From the root of a nochosh, a snake, comes forth a tsefa. A tsefa is even a more dangerous serpent. It's another type of snake that's even worse. Kofal lamid perish luchamin. Here he goes with all the gematrias in the parentheses. Nes, the letters nun samach smuchim, remes, makes another drasha, imbarech adamin havero oisim loines. Next, makes another drasha, he says, another, when it comes to the nes, this refers to the nechash hanechoshes. When the people, they sin with the nechash hanechoshes, so Moshe put ala hanes. Nes means a pole. Why did Moshe put the nechash hanechoshes on a nes? To teach them that if you run away from doing Averos, Hashem will do for you miracles. Why did Moshe use the sign of a snake? To teach them that their sin is contagious. Okay, it's not for nothing that Hashgacha Pratis, the sign of the Nechash HaNechashas, is the universal sign for a doctor. We know today you go look at any in the medical field, the symbol of a doctor is the Parash and Parashas Chukas. When Klal Yisrael, they complained against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem sent against them Nechoshim HaSerafim, Vayinashchu Bohem, these poisonous snakes, and it bit the Jewish people. They came to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, who were all dying. Moshe created for them a copper snake, Vayosimu Oisoy Al Hanes, V'hoya Kol HaNoshuch, anyone that was bitten, he would gaze at the copper snake, V'choy, and he lived. And if a person would not gaze at the copper snake, he would die. Sefer Chassidim is teaching us incredible insight into why HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the poisonous snakes to bite the people after they sinned. And is telling us that you think that you sinned, it's just private. My averos that I've committed, what I have done, my complaints, is unique to me, has no effect on my children. You're making a big mistake. The sin of complaining against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Hashem, is not just your hate. You have created a koyach of avera that will be passed down to your children. Your children are watching. They're going to imitate you. Just like you complain, your children will grow up to be complainers like you. And in fact, they'll be even bigger complainers. Because it's the nature of each generation to improve upon the technique of the previous generation. So if you only know how to complain with a limited vocabulary, your children will know how to complain with a much bigger vocabulary. If you only know how to complain with words, with writing and paper and pen, your children will take that koyach of complaint and use it on blogs and use technology to expand the scope of their complaints. Your children will expand. What is the mashal in this world that something is contagious and goes down to the next generation? A snake. Because a snake, it doesn't just give forth a regular snake. The Metziah says, ki mishoresh nochosh yetzei tsefa. A tsefa is a much more poisonous snake than a nochosh. But there's no such thing as a tsefa. A tsefa is a derivative of a nochosh. A tsefa, that's the Metziah. I'm not familiar with the whole science behind this, but this creature called a tsefa, that's even more poisonous, is a product that comes forth from the less poisonous nachash. So when Klal Yisrael complained, what the Ribbono Shel Olam did was, he sent against them snakes. The reason why he sent them a snake was to tell them, the sin that you have committed is so grave, it's not going to stop with you. It's going to go down to the next generation. Your children will also be complainers. But guess what? They're not going to complain like you. They're going to complain better than you. They're going to be even more poisonous in their complaint than you. And therefore, take Musar from the Nachash. The Nachash is poisonous, but its poison is limited. But the creature, the product that comes forth from the Nachash, is 10 times more poisonous than the Nachash. The Tsefa. So I'm sending against you a Nachash to teach you this lesson. You did an Avera, you complained. You think it's isolated to your generation, to yourself, not to your children. You're dead wrong. The poison that you have created will get a lot worse, and your children will become a tsefa, will be in the category of a tsefa. What did Moshe do? He took this, illustrated this idea by putting on a very big pole and said, just like it goes, it expands, that each generation it gets worse and worse. The disease is contagious, and it spreads much more than it starts at originally. But if you want to overcome it, likewise, the ability to escape from this can be supernatural, can also be lemala miderech hateva. Therefore, he took this snake and he put it on a nes, on a pole. On a pole. Why on a pole? Because a nes doesn't just mean a pole, it also means a miracle. You have the ability to supernaturally reverse this disease, lemala miderech hateva. Nes semuchim, the two letters Nun and Samach are also next to each other, Ramas, in Boireach Adam min Ha'avera. A person who runs away from Avera, Oisim Loines, well, Nes is, I'm not sure what it means, but Oisim Loines. Now, when we look at this now, every time you look at that symbol of a doctor, it has an entirely new meaning. You can never look at that symbol that you see on every ambulance. They come on every ambulance. You see that even the Hatzol ambulances have that symbol. Some of them. Not all of them. Some of them have that symbol of the symbol of a doctor, whatever they call it in English, the fancy term for it in English. And it's clearly the source is the Nechash HaNechoshes Vayasimu Al Hanes. Anyone that looked at that Nes was lived. Anyone that did not look at it died. And we now have a whole new insight. The Nachash, it's contagious. Disease is not limited to the Chole. The disease spreads to other people. And when it spreads, it spreads exponentially. It gets a lot worse. And the only way to stop it is to look up to Shemayim, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, for salvation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that the pole that the Nachash is on, that pole should be a source of inspiration, that not only if you when you try to stop doing the Avera, Hashem will do things that are lemala miderech hateva, oisim loy miracles, oisim loy nes, to help you to avoid the poison and the danger that is inherent in this Avera. That's, we come out, they have a whole new parish. You have to write this whole thing on the ambulance. This whole little section over here to explain what the symbol means. What? Nun samach ayin pei. Tsefa. Tsefa. It goes all around. Nes is tsefa. Nun, the letters together. Interesting. Preventive medicine. Yeah.
What's the doctor? He started off telling us the doctor.
So now going back, so no, it's not, but the point that he seems to be making to the Nebuchadnezzar Netzar is, you've done an Avera. The problem that you don't understand is how great the Avera is. And until you appreciate the depth, the severity of the Avera, there's nothing you can do for Teshuva. The first step of doing Teshuva is to recognize the Choymer Hadov. You think you destroyed Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. No, it's a lot worse than that. Your children will try to destroy the next Beis HaMikdash. And your grandchildren will try to destroy the other Beis HaMikdash. you have created in this world evil, and that evil is contagious, and it expands, and it intensifies. When you first begin to appreciate the depth of the sin, then you can do teshuvah, you can counteract it by doing teshuvah, and in this example, we told him to give tzedakah, but he alluded to him the depth of the sin is there. All right, I'll take a short break. We'll talk about some yom on the parsha. I must leave out.